Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present the Love Series. This is Session 9, entitled Love is a Team Sport by Dennis Peacock.
Well, I'd like to say at the outset it's been a wonderful treat to share with my beloved brother Barney and his wife Jeanette. You know, we men get more credit than we deserve. A massive amount of who we are is because of who we're married to. And that isn't being politically correct. How many of you men, as you get older, realize how much the two really are one flesh? And you are inseparable in God. Now, my closing comments, of course, are building, not knowing what Barney was going to share, it's nevertheless a wonderful fit, an interesting fit, as I believe Barnabas and I are an interesting fit. I want to talk about love is a team sport. Or another way I could say what I want to say and has already been said is I want to talk about closing the gap. Closing the gap. And I didn't use this in the notes, but notes are notes. I mean, the notes speak to what I want to say in an organized fashion. And notes are a good supplement. But they don't necessarily, you follow them when you follow them and you don't when you don't. I want to look at John 17:20. John 17 probably, to me, is the high point of the Scripture. I have felt that for years. For me, it is the high point. Because when you listen to someone pray, you have an opportunity to see who they are in a way that cannot be revealed in any other context. And we see the epicenter of Christ's heart, the center of His center, as He relates to His Father. You know, you can tell a lot of things about a family, not just when you watch a man relate to a woman or woman relate to the man, but when you watch the parents relate to the children. And probably even more revealing than any of that is watching the way the children relate to the parents. And here we see a son relating to his father, which gives us a glimpse of Jesus that you can't see anywhere else in this depth, out of his own mouth. I do not ask these things, Father, on behalf of these alone, that is context, those that he is speaking to, but for those who believe in me through their word. Adam has been working on the whole issue of the 12 apostles and that we don't give them enough credit and this and that. You know, as you read these words, how many of you are thankful that the men that Jesus was speaking of here in this prayer, we know about Jesus because we believe on the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, which is saying we believe on the words of Peter and Paul and Luke, the beloved physician. These are the ones that Jesus was speaking about who would give to you and I the Word of God. We would not have this. Now, God could have and would have used other people. But we believe on Jesus Christ because of these men's testimony, which is written, the living Word of God. It's amazing when you really take the time to look into the Scripture and what is being said. Jesus is saying, I don't ask on behalf of Peter, James, and John, and Thomas, and Thaddeus, and blah, blah, alone. But I'm asking on the generations, for the sake of the generations who will believe on me and come to know me through their word and their testimony. And here's what I want, verse 21, that they would all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, yoked, as Barney was alluding to. That the world, and we're back to what Barney taught on the burden for the nations, that the nations may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected. And perfected has to do with the whole thing we've been talking about, is that love is a skill, not just an emotion. That they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them even as thou hast loved me. You've loved the world in the same way, Father, that you love me. Closing the gap. I don't know, again, all of us can say this about ourselves. I don't know why God made me the way that he made me. One of the things that I've tried to do is stop apologizing for the way that God made me. Okay? We should never apologize for the handiwork of God. Now, the way God made us is not about our faults and failures and weaknesses, but it's about who we are in the core. And one of the things the enemy wants to do is destroy that core. He's after the core of who God made you to be, to undermine it, to demean it, to get you to walk away from the core of who you are. Now, something God put in my core is that I believe that we can do anything Jesus wants us to do. I believe that. I don't have to pump that up. I believe that. No better than that. I know that. There's knowing and believing, and knowing is better. In fact, all belief is on a journey to knowing. I'd like to go there, but I can't. Jesus knowing, not believing, knowing. All belief is on a journey to knowing. And we can't really do what God wants us to do until we come to the point of knowing. It's when we know that Christ begins to really manifest through those areas where we know. We don't simply believe. Those of you that know me personally, to some degree there's a different public me than a private me. And on the private side, if you talk to me and you tell me what's in your heart, what you probably get out of me is, certainly I would hope you get out of me, is, okay, I believe that. Now, how are we going to do that? What skills do we need for you to do that? And I find myself oftentimes believing more about what people say themselves than they believe about themselves. Because when I hear God in somebody's heart, I believe. But I believe we can do it. The question is, what is missing? How do we close the gap between what God has put in our hearts and the doing of that which he has put into our hearts? And again, speaking out of my own life, because we all minister out of our own life, or should, because it's the life God has given us to minister out of. The whole athletic thing was such a foundation that God put in me as an analogy to understand him. And I was thinking about football at the break. One of the tragedies of my life and the tragedy of your life is that all of us have gone through things, and because we didn't understand what we needed to understand when we were in that thing or in that relationship, we never fulfilled who we were. We fell short. And one of the ways that I saw that is playing football. I was a running back, and this has nothing to do with anything but just listen to it. I was a guy that carried the football. And when I would get the football, sometimes magic would happen. And I was very fast and I was very strong, which was my strength and my weakness. And the problem was, at a high school level, I could outrun virtually everybody or I could run over everybody, so I never learned the value of blockers. I never learned really how to play as a team in my position because of the strength of what God gave me, the tools. But an interesting thing happened, as it always does in our journey with God. When I got to college, I found other men that were fast and strong, and I could no longer do it on my own. And I will never forget the practice that I was in when I realized, and again, I was backslidden, but how many of you know God talks to you when you're backslidden? I went, oh my God, I have been playing this sport for a while, and I'm here getting thousands of dollars paid in tuition and all the scholarship stuff to do this, and I've just realized that I don't really know what I'm doing. And people may think I'm good at what I'm doing, but I have just now realized that I really don't have the skill to go where I need to go at this level of play. Now, how many of you can relate to what I'm saying right here? You might have been able to do one thing at whatever level on strength and skill and gift and whatever God... But God, God is committed to take every one of us in different areas of our life into a level of play where He shows us that there is now a gap which must be closed with other people in order to fulfill our destiny. Because love is a team sport. And the body of Christ is a team sport. And salvation is a team sport. And having read John 17, I rest my case. What is the heart of Jesus here in John 17? The heart of Jesus is, Father, everything that You have sent me to do and everything that I am and everything that is in the core of my mission is to help those that You have given to us to close the gap between one another so that there is no gap in them in the same way that there is no gap in us. It's that simple. And love with skill, which is why the Holy Spirit is given to us. You know, Barney, it's amusing to me as a charismaniac, Pentecostal, and all the stuff we are. It's amusing to me that we charismatics settled on the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the, you know, all that kind of thing as the centering point of what the Holy Spirit came to do. It's not the centering point Jesus identified. The centering point He identified was, when He comes, He will reveal My nature and Me to you. He will give you the power to receive Me and implement My life in your life. Now, speaking in tongues or whatever else is a part of that, but that is not the centering ministry of the Holy Spirit. The centering ministry of the Holy Spirit is the skill, character, love base of Jesus Christ consuming us so that He can and we can close the gap between us and Him. And in closing the gap, recreate another team in the same way that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are a team. He comes to close the gap. And if speaking in tongues or prayer or whatever else, prophecy or whatever gift we're using, if it is not closing the gap between us and God and us and people, then it is being misused and it is missing what Christ's will for us is. I played my junior year, and some of you heard the story in high school. I wanted to be a running back that year too, but the coach called me into his office. And he said, Dennis, for the sake of your athleticism, for the sake of the team, this year I don't want you to be a running back. I want you to be a split end. And I said, I'm a running back. He said, for the sake of the team. Now, I had a good choice right there. It was either about me and what I wanted and using my skills the way I wanted to use them, or it was about what the coach said would be best for the team. And it was a wonderful thing. It was hard for me to do, but it was a wonderful thing. And one of the things that I loved about it was I had one of these great big tackles next to me named John Barton. And John Barton had a size 14. And when we would come up to the line and I'd line up off him, John Barton's big foot was next to mine. And as the season went along, I stopped being concerned about, give me the ball, let me do what I'm made to do. And I got a whole new understanding, a whole new appreciation as John and I used to play together to cave in the line and do the stuff we did together. It became a thrill to play with John and not just carry the ball. And I began to experience that again at Berkeley at the college level of football. The thing that I had to do, which was so hard for me to do because speed was my gift, was to follow your blockers. You have to run at their speed, not your speed. And everything in me wanted to take off like a rocket and outrun them or fake them out or do whatever. But in order to play on the team at that level, you had to wait and move at the speed and in the direction the blockers were and then take off when the two of you had created something that the one of you could never do. Now, whatever is in the heart that we got in the Reformation, and God help us, we have to understand the Reformation was not all positive, and splitting with the Catholics was not all positive. If you think it was, you don't understand. Part of what we imbibed in the Reformation was a solo trip with Jesus that is so destructive to us as evangelicals, we have yet to understand the damage of me and Jesus and what me and Jesus and me and Jesus and me and Jesus, because salvation in Christ was never designed to be that, because salvation is a team sport. I mean, we can't defend ourselves from an athletic analogy because we're like a sieve. The enemy pours through us because we have not yet learned how to lock arms and put feet together and work together and close the gaps between us that the enemy uses to tear us to shreds repeatedly. All of us saying ultimately, well, that's not really important because this is all about me and Jesus and how much Jesus is in me and how close I am to Jesus. And that is such a misalignment of the heart of Christ as revealed in John 17. Because this is a team. You see, what happened when some of us, and numbers in here, when we began to experience the covenant of God, what the Holy Spirit was giving to us was the reality, you will not be able to do my will. You will not be able to fulfill my destiny and your destiny and my destiny in you as individuals. The only way you're going to be able to pull this thing off is you're going to have to learn to play as a team, even as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit play as a team. And it's going to cut across your baptized individualism. It's going to cut across this isolation of me and Jesus, which is undermining the very goal of Christ Himself. Now, to be a team member, it means you got to have the same jersey. We have to wear the same jersey, and we have to study the same playbook, and we have to be under the same coach. And everybody on the team, to be on the team, that's minimal requirement. You must do that. You must have the same jersey, you must have the same playbook, you must have the same coach, and you must have the same training rules. And the team is only as powerful as the players, not the coach, reinforce the rules. If the coach has to reinforce the rules, you're not yet a team. Right. You're not a team until the players police each other. And when the players begin to police each other, now it's clear that the heart of the coach has got into the players and is not speaking externally to the players. He's speaking internally to the players so that all the players are carrying the coach's heart. That's a wonderful thing. And I saw that happen where, you know, guys would say, hey, put the cigarette out, stop drinking. This is now about us, because us is the success of us. And when that kind of thing began to happen on the team, love began to manifest itself. And you found yourself loving people you didn't even like. Because love grows when a team is formed. Now, we can go all the way back to businesses, because it's all the same. The business school is all the same. It's all the same. It's a seamless garment. Building a marriage is the same as building a church, which is the same as building a business, which is the same as building a nation. It is all the same. And you know what it's ultimately about? Closing the gap between people. It's that simple. Jesus came to close the gap. He had to die on Calvary to do it. Why did He die? Because He, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, wanted to close the gap between us and them and between us and us. And the whole game is closing the gap. So when I play games with Tom, like I did last night, and we go into the round words and meet you about 12 and all the games, the real issue is, how clear are we on what the purpose of this game is? Purpose of the game is what? To close the gap. I don't know if you ever saw this happen, but I've seen it happen where football players would fumble the ball, and the coach would have the football player carry the ball around with them all day at school. It was interesting to watch when a coach would do that. What was he trying to communicate to the player? The purpose of the game for you is hold the ball. Great story, Vince Lombardi, Green Bay Packers. Possibly the greatest coach in American football history. And he was a great one for fundamentals, Barney. He was all about the fundamentals, just like Paul. Paul's a fundamentals coach. And they played a game, and he wanted to start all over again, and he called these are all pros, been playing football forever. He calls them together, and he said, gentlemen, we're going to go to the fundamental level of the game. We're going to start on the fundamentals. This gentleman is a football. One of the funny players on the team said, Coach, slow down. You're going too fast. Okay? You know, if I had a post high enough and speak to the whole body of Christ, my this is a football speech would begin with, folks, salvation is a team sport. And because it's a team sport, it's all about closing the gap. And we have the Gospels, and we have the tools, and we have all these things that God has given us in Christ to begin the journey of closing the gap. Now, there's numbers of things we can do on our own. Play with me now. Let's all play football together. At maybe a little league football level, you know, the little peewee league where the kids, all of us play in peewee league football in the spirit. There's a lot of things you can get away with at peewee league football. But you can't evangelize nations on a peewee league football level. You see, the thing God has done, I love the way he traps us. He's very bright, you know. He puts a vision up here that is so high that in order to achieve that vision, you must play at a certain level. You will not be able to get there unless you do things in a certain way, in a certain level of play, with a certain skill base, with a certain covenantal reality. We will not, let's get reality here, we will not see the world covered with the glory of God until the level of our play is appropriate to make that happen. The goal that is set determines your level of play. That's why God has set the goal so high. The standard is so high. You can't play at that standard at little league football levels. You can't play at high school levels. You can't play at college levels, and you can't play at professional levels. You have to play at the highest level possible. And this is where God, in his magnificent wisdom, uses the enemy in a strange way as one of our best friends. Because our enemy forces the necessity of play higher than his. I love it. I love the way God set this game up. Thank you. Now, it's got to drive the devil crazy that he is God's instrument of raising the level of play. How'd you like to be fighting somebody and everything you did against that person only made him stronger? I mean, you think about the frustration, and he's going to have eternity to sit in it. And I actually feel good about that. And I'll tell you why I feel good about it. Because he's cruel and he hates people. And he's earned it. I think people should get what they earn. Okay? Now, we're talking about love. Love, 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 love. But the context is missing the heart of Christ until it's in a team context. We got a lot of pastors been in this conference. You got one goal in Christ in that church. Build a team. Because salvation is a team sport. When we get saved onto a team. We get a jersey. It's called the body of Christ. We get a number. We get assigned a position. And the coach plays us at the level of shape we are in. I say this, many of you heard me say this. God plays everybody who is in shape, and he plays you at the level of your competency. And when you have become competent at this level of play, he promotes you to another level of play where you are now incompetent, which forces you to get new tools, skills, and relationships in order to stay at that level of play. And once you've gone to that level of play, He increases your sphere to a higher level so that you will learn to use your blockers and become one with your blockers, because everybody here carries a ball. Everybody here has a ball. And He will take you to a level which will close the gap between you and the other people on the team in order that you as a team will succeed. Because if the team doesn't succeed, any individual success ultimately is of very little significance. If I win and we don't win, if we don't win but I win and I feel good about that, I'm not yet in the game of Christ, which is what 1 Corinthians 12 is all about. The eye can't say to the hand can't say to the ear, the foot can't say to the esophagus. When one member is exalted, everybody is exalted. When one member suffers, we all suffer. It's Paul's coach sermon, 1 Corinthians 12. Now that begins in the home. It begins between a man and a woman. It begins with a man and a woman closing the gap. One of the joys of my life is seeing God close the gap between Jan and I. Very different personalities, and I'm an idiot. So many things I haven't understood. Now, she's got her idiocies too, but I feel like mine are greater. Because I've been given the position of more power, my problems create more havoc than hers. And that's not humility, that's reality. I don't believe in humility, I only believe in reality. If you're in reality, you will be humble. Do you follow where I just went? Okay, it begins there in the home. I work with the corporate leaders. I say, I can do corporate theory. I can do all that stuff, but let's don't talk there. Let's begin with you and your wife. Because God begins, the foundation of wealth begins with a man and a woman. Because in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed and enriched. Not corporations. If we're going to talk about wealth, it's about a man and a woman. About a man and a woman closing the gap between them. And as you begin to close the gap between a husband and a wife, it's amazing. God uses those same skills to close gaps between CEOs and CFOs and board of directors and chairmen, because closing the gap requires spiritual skills that work wherever you are and don't work if they don't work in the context. Norm, you've been on this context thing. I see it. The context of the Trinity is what Jesus proceeded out from and went back to. The context that we proceed out of in Christ is the relationships that God has given to us to master the skills required to see those nations filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And we go from one level of play to another level of play. How many of you groan? See, you groan in the spirit when you say God's promoting you, and then all of a sudden you see, you know, there's a whole skill set. There's a whole bunch of stuff here I do not know how to do. And not only that, there's people here that have problematic personalities or gifts that I've never done well with. And now I'm going to have to learn how to close the gap with people that I'm inherently in friction with, but that is what is required to play at the next level. And you begin to master those skills. And what is the glue that holds all that together? Let's talk about it. It's love for Jesus Christ. Because I'm not about, I mean, especially the older you get more independent in a certain way. You know, you get over 60, you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want. I'm sure the guys that are 90 say that with more power and authority than I do. Something happens to you. And the truth of the matter is, you will only do what you have no choice to do the older you get. You'll only do what you have to do, which is another way of saying you're only going to do what you really believe. And love for Jesus Christ is the only thing that will force us to close the gap. Because when you're older, you can walk away. Hey, Praise God, I'm saved. I'm going home. The fact that you and I can't get it together is not going to affect my salvation one iota. And in a world of church that preaches salvation as the ultimate issue, thank you, DeVern Frumke, that's why we're fragmented. Because we can opt out of closing the gap and not affect our salvation one iota. The problem is salvation is not the core of the gospel. It's the love of Jesus Christ and being and doing what is in His heart for us that is the centering point of the gospel. And until we make that the centering point of the gospel, we are going to remain a group of men and women carrying the balls by ourselves and never seeing that the name of the game is close the gap. And then what are the skills that I need to do that? And who are the people that are going to give me those skills? Somewhere in the beginning, this passion, I saw it when I was a little kid. I saw it by the grace of God. And I would say to myself, if I only had a coach, if I only had somebody to teach me the skills, I can do it. I've always known that in my heart. I've always known that, and I believe that for every single one of you. We need coaches. And the Holy Spirit is the supreme coach, the head coach. But you know what? It's a team. So He has assistant coaches. We don't get that in the body of Christ yet as we should. He's got assistant coaches. And His coaching staff is the body of Christ. And everybody in that coaching staff is called of God and anointed of God to coach somebody else in the area where the Holy Spirit has given them the skills to coach. And it's our obligation and our duty in Christ to find out the area where He has made you an assistant coach. Who are you called to assist with the skill set of the gifts and anointing that God has given you? And then to hone those skills, work on those skills, because skills and gifts are two different things. A gift is a passion and an anointing to do something, but it is not the skill itself. The skill itself is something that is added, as 2 Peter says, add this. And the way we add those things is by working self-consciously on the skills. What are the drills? What am I missing? And ultimately, and this is what I want you to get out of it, what am I missing that is keeping me from closing the gap? Pastors, your mission is to help people close the gaps between one another. What behavior must be altered to close the gap between a father and his daughter, a father and his son, a husband and his wife? It's all about closing the gaps so that Christ's heart, Father, I would that they would be one. There'd be no space between them. In the same way that there's no space between us. Now, I personally will consider our time together here, Barney and I sharing, and us in the groups and the group leaders, and bless you, group leaders, for what you've done. I will consider this, and bless you, Earl, my friend. I will consider this conference a failure if we don't walk out of here with this foundation in our hearts and very, very clear that love is a team sport. Because God is a team player. That's what He's about. He's a team player. And any and all our virtues and any and all of our successes are all relative to the degree to which we are closing the gap with people in the Lord. When I meet an unsaved person, my first thing, oh God, is how do I get into this person to find out where the gap is, and then what can I do to begin to move closer to them? Because when you begin to move closer to somebody, they go, wow, this is wonderful. What are you doing here? What's happening here? My isolation is being reduced. My loneliness is being reduced. My burden is being reduced. My pain is being reduced because the gap is being closed. Holy Spirit, may You please raise up an army of men and women who see what the game is, who walk away from what they are doing on the team, and instead see that there is no victory, even in our salvation. There is no victory if the gap is not being closed with those you have placed us with to walk. Father, in Jesus' name, we curse this isolationist thing that is in the body of Christ, which absolutely keeps us from becoming a team because it's all about us and you. And we don't understand, no, it's all about us and you in you together. It is this corporate team that you came to get, made up of individual players which are called to be a team, even as you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are a team. And may we put love, Father, in the context of the team. Not just our growing in love with you and your growing in love with us, but let us put in the context of the game, which is closing the gap in your creation. Holy Spirit, we're trusting that you will anoint and call to remembrance those things that you have said, not just here from the pulpit with Barney and I, but in the bathrooms and in the dining room and in the hotel rooms and by ourselves, that you will call to remembrance, Holy Spirit, what you spoke to us as we gathered together.
Yes, God.
And that, Lord, we would have a heart out of our love for you to see that our love and your love in us is to be lived out with wisdom and skill and knowledge. That we would no longer be victims of viewing love as something we fall into or fall out of, but we would see that your love is a pool that you've placed us in to learn how to swim with skill and extend that pool to others. And Father, grant this to us in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Strategic Christian Services. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. For further information about Strategic Christian Services, visit our website at www.gostrategic.org.